broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. The news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and we go through the looking glass every single night, Monday through Saturday, to go places other talk shows wish that they could, but they can't. And how do I know? Well, I was just at the NAB, and they told me.
Really?
Not really, but they had that look on their face. Anyway, nice to be with you guys, and don't forget that this is radio for patriots, by patriots, to patriots, through patriots. Anyway, you get the general idea. You can visit us online at philhendryshow.com. That's where our live streaming video of the show is airing right now. So you have a backstage pass. You can check that out, and that'll get you through the night. Coming up this evening, we're going to be talking with Stephen Bozell of Corona, California, and we'll be discussing with him Dancing with the Stars on Monday. Chaz Bono, at one time a female, underwent gender reassignment surgery, is now Chaz Bono, a man, and dancing with the stars, and he will be on stage with a young lady. And Mr. Bozell is going to be talking about that and the sort of the media repercussions of that.
Yeah, well, he's talking about what's the effect of that on regular men.
What's the effect of that on regular men?
Yeah.
All right, and then this hour we have Bob Green. There's a grocery strike that may happen in Southern California, and in California may happen nationally. There's also, and has been, a controversy surrounding coupons and how many coupons people use when they go to the store. It turns out now that people who run grocery stores think that too many coupons are being used by some people. It's locking some people out of the system. It's costing some of the grocers money. On the line with us from Buena Park is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. We're going to get to our affiliate spotlight in our next quarter hour, just mentioning a couple of the great stations that do carry the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Bob Green joining us, though, from Buena Park, California. He's the CEO and founder of Fraser Foods, now with some 50 stores in the Southwest and the Southeast. Bob, good evening to you. And it is a kind of a daunting landscape ahead here, the future for grocers, right?
Well, if you're referring to the possibility of a strike, it's something that we're monitoring it on a daily basis, and we're hopeful that it's going to get settled. We don't at this particular point see much that indicates that it will get settled, but it's a problem. There's no question about it.
And then we have this news article that I saw over this past week on coupons.
Well, that's been discussed for a long time, and I think it came to the public's attention with this show that they do. I think it's Extreme Shopper or something like that, where they
there's people that trim coupons.
Right, they go through coupon cutting, and they go into the stores, and they're getting they're trying to get the best deals possible, and that's understandable in this economy. I can't fault people that want to do that. What I can fault is when they're doing it in a manner that may be seen as malicious, Phil. And I know they don't mean to be malicious.
What do you mean by malicious?
Well, when they are bringing in so many coupons that it's very obvious at the end of their shopping spree, the store, whatever the store may be, is going to be hurt. That the store is going to get significantly hurt by them coming in with all of their coupons and getting their big discount. So, yeah, it's a very, as you mentioned, it's a very daunting landscape, and we're trying to take it one day at a time, but it affects how we deal with our customers. I come to work every day, and I want to have a good feeling about every customer that comes through our store, through our doors. It's very difficult, Phil, to have that when you know that there are some of them coming in with these coupons looking, to put it as succinctly as I can, looking to bleed you.
And so that's what you meant by malicious. You think people are coming in with coupons looking to bleed you. Why are they? Why can't you just think of them as people coming in looking to save money?
Well, I would believe that people are looking to save money if it was a trip to the store that saved them The normal discount, I think, would be, I don't know, if you're saving 10%, but 20%, I don't know. But some of these people are coming in, and they're paying for their entire grocery bill with coupons. In other words, they're not giving me any cash. I see these checkers checking people's groceries, and no money is exchanged. I see no money. And all day long today, Phil, I have been trying to control the checkout situation. You can hear I've almost lost my voice.
Yeah, I can hear. It's a little rough.
Well, I've been yelling from one check to the next. What's going on? How many coupons? And they're yelling back. We're getting a lot of people here that are paying for their entire grocery bill. And at one point, I remember yelling out, if you ever read anything about the mutiny on the Bounty, Phil, believe it or not, there was a famous moment when Fletcher Christian yells out, I'm in hell. And at one point today in the store, I remember going into my office and screaming that, I'm in hell. And we have a series of recording and phone recording devices where we record a lot of our meetings, and I think somebody got that on tape.
You in your office, huh?
Yeah.
Screaming that I'm in hell. We're talking to Robert Greene. That's an interesting story.
Well, I remember I'd been reading about the Mutiny on the Bounty, and it just came to me that that's what Fletcher Christian had screamed. And as I walked into my office, it was the same thing.
And all right, so you are feeling very, very strongly about these coupon clippers and seem to be under an awful lot of stress. Is it really costing you that much money?
Well, it isn't just that. The possibility of a strike as well. And then what happens is you start to take it out on the customer, or you may take it out of the employees, and that becomes a problem.
And what way were you taking out on the customer?
We had a little boy today. It was either today or yesterday. I got a check with Judy, as my accountant. She was there. She saw it. A little boy came in and was wearing a wig. Now, it's no secret to my employees that I have a $15,000 hair system. It's not a toupee. It's not hair transplants. It's not a weave. It is a hair system that I've had for the last 10 years. And it's a outstanding hair system that was originally created by Bill Lindell and his partners. And then it was, I think, duplicated in France. So it is a hair system. And
why do you... okay, so you have a hair system. And
well, the reason why I'm bringing it up is because a lot of people like to say, well, you have a toupee. No, I don't. It's a hair system. It is my hair.
Well, all right. I'm not quite clear.
What happened was this. I went to the Lindell labs, and they fitted me with a hair system. It's not a toupee. It's not implants. It's a hair system.
Is it your hair?
It is my hair now, yeah. And that's how I see it. When this little boy came in wearing a wig, I assumed that it was a joke that Michelle and some of the cashiers had played. I didn't think it was funny. I was under stress from the coupons. I was under stress from the possible strike. And I'd like you to know that, Phil, because of what transpired. Basically, what I did was I got very angry, and I pulled the wig off of this little boy's head.
And all right, now, okay, because I think I had a conversation with Judy, who's your accountant.
Yeah.
She mentioned the little boy had cancer.
He was undergoing some kind of chemotherapy. They put a wig on his head. It was terrible looking. Just terrible looking, and because when he came in with this crazy looking wig, I thought that they had put this child up to making fun of me. I admit that I was under a lot of stress. I admit that I let the stress get to me. I apologized to the child and the child's mother. I think what made the situation doubly difficult is that this woman proceeded to go into our store, and she purchased some in the neighborhood of $150 worth of groceries, almost all of which was paid for by coupons. And in that instance, I had to just, I had to bite down on it. And I had to bite down on it, and I had to write it.
We're talking to Robert Greene here from Fraser Foods. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And really what we're talking about is the strain and the stress of being in the grocery business, in the food business. is so difficult that you let it get to you.
And I fully admit that, Bill.
All right.
But I do want to say that when you're coming in with a child that has been going through chemo and the kid's got a wig on, that is very, very badly purchased, I guess. It looked very bad. It's obvious. It was obvious to me. I thought someone was mocking me.
And well, so you went up to this child and pulled the wig off. My question would be, why would you walk up to this little boy and pull the wig off of his head? Why not just get with your checkers?
And talk about it later on?
Yeah.
You know what? It occurred to me, and it was something that I probably should have done, but I was under extreme stress from this coupon clipping, from the possibility of a strike. I would only ask your listeners to consider this. There's a possibility that we're going to have a strike. There's a possibility that we're going to, you know, have people out walking a picket line, that I'm going to lose business. Put that together with the fact that we've had people coming in over the last 6 months with these more and more coupons that have been more and more abusing, and I use that word quite literally, abusing me and my business with these coupons. It's put us all under a lot of strain.
All right, I understand that you're under a lot of strain, but a little child is a tough individual to take something like this out on.
I understand.
And the little boy had cancer, and
I understand all of that, Phil. But I have been mocked by my employees because of the hair system that I've spent a good piece of money on, and that.
Why do they mock it?
They mock it because they don't like the idea that I've got a great-looking and a great-fitting hair system. And it's not a wig. It's not a toupee.
And so you suspected that they had this child come in a wig to mock you?
It was my suspicion. Yes, it was.
All right, Robert Green is on the line with us from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. And really what's happening is the possibility of a grocery strike, of a worker strike in the grocery business here in California and elsewhere. There is, and that of course is always very, very difficult. Then there is the use of these coupons that has increased over a period of years that Mr. Green says his business is feeling the pinch now of these people that are abusively using coupons. Put it all together, you got a lot of pressure, and he let it loose today by pulling the wig off of a little boy who has been undergoing chemotherapy. I don't know what to say about that other than the fact, is there ever any excuse, no matter what kind of business we're in, to react that way? We're going to talk more with Bob about it. We'll give our number out, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. I can understand, you know, where business is getting really tough, and God, we're in the middle of a recession, but how do you take out your angst over coupons and a grocery strike on a little boy with an ill-fitting wig because he has cancer? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hey, welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Robert Green with me from Fraser Foods, a grocery chain longstanding here in Southern California throughout the Southwest and the Southeast, but it's happening all over the country, the price of food. But more to the point of what we're talking about here tonight, what is the pressure on grocers themselves, on the owners of these businesses, whether it's the big chains like Safeway, Bob, or Ralph's, or Kroger's, or the small chains like your store? You are feeling it, right?
We are, Phil, and you know, I don't know that anybody that has a business is feeling the pressure from the recession, but we have a double whammy. We have the threat of a strike, and we also have the this coupon clipping situation, which we've always encouraged our customers to use the coupons that we put in the circulars, in the fold-ins on Sunday. We spend good money to promote our business. But when someone is using those coupons to the extent that some people do, and in some instances you have to sort of just take it, like I had to take it from the woman today because of this little boy.
Now let's refresh. The little boy had come in wearing a wig that looked ill-fitting. You thought it was the wig was to mock you, and the fact that you wear some kind of a, as you call it, a hair system.
It is a hair system. It's not a toupee. But I've taken a lot of, I think, I don't mind good-natured jesting, good-natured kidding, Phil, and good-natured jesting, but I do mind it when it's never-ending, and it can get to you, the pressure of it can get to you when you're in the business environment that I'm in.
And all right, now you pulled this wig off of this little boy's head, and I don't know, the word, what was it, something like, somebody said that there was some profanity.
There was, yeah, and I regret it, Phil.
Can you tell me what you said?
I said, "You effing kid," and I pulled the wig off his head. And
you effing kid.
Yeah. Again, I'm willing to take all the responsibility in the world for this. Were it an instance where it was entirely my fault, but I was being mocked by my checkers because of this hair system, I am dealing with the coupon clipping, and we're dealing again with the strike. And I don't want to keep sounding like a broken record.
Well, no, I mean, these are very real problems, but I wonder where we draw the line in our businesses and we say, well, look, I'm under a lot of pressure.
And in my instance, Phil, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
In my instance, it's not just a professional pressure. It was personal as well because of the hair system that I'd invested a lot of money in and because of the fact that this child came in at the wrong moment. And let's remember also one other thing. Once I had apologized to the little boy and his mother, the mother then entered my store and did the very thing that I have been battling for many months. She bought every piece of every grocery item, whether it was a food item or not, using coupons, and I don't think she spent more than $10 for a $150 order. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, isn't that just a wise woman? Now, look, I know about...
Well, it's wise unless you're abusing the system.
No, I know all about what a lot of grocery stores are saying. And we have a tape racked up here, Bob. What is this?
This is me in the office. A little bit earlier today, I was pouring myself a coffee. If you want to hear it, we can go ahead and roll it. And
well, when you say in the office...
This is when I was going through so much frustration.
This is the comment about hell.
Yes, sir.
All right, bud, let's roll that tape. And I think you got it right.
I am in hell! Yeah! That's it. And I'm not proud of it, but I brought it on your program to play it and to let people know I'm human, to let people know that I am not ashamed to admit my faults, to let people know that I definitely care about my customers, but that all of us in the grocery business are undergoing a real strain.
Well, I heard I am in hell. That sounded like you were in hell, all right.
It was, as I said, it was, for some reason, the comment made by Fletcher Christian on the Bounty, it just popped into my mind.
Robert Greene with us, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Is the business pressure getting to all of us? Are we treating our employees with respect? Are we treating our customers with respect? Is the pressure of a down business cycle suddenly getting to us so severely that we're just, you know, absolutely not dealing with it? 877-876-PHIL. And Bob, we have the instance, and I appreciate you being honest about the little boy.
Thank you.
And I appreciate you being honest that you used profanity.
Well, it was an obscenity, Phil.
All right, yeah, you said this effing kid, or you effing kid?
No, I said, I said F you to the kid, you effing kid, and I pulled the wig off his head. And I pointed to the hair system that I've invested a lot of money in. I looked at his mother and I pointed to it and I said, this is a $15,000 hair system. And
do you think that, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you think you're losing it?
Do I think I'm losing it. In what sense?
Do you think that you're cracking? Do you think that...
No. What I'm trying to say to you...
Because it sounds like something that you would not want to say to a child.
No, you don't want to say, Todd, I'm not cracking. I'm exhibiting the strain that every businessman is exhibiting. When this kid comes in wearing this wig, what else are you going to say? But you, F you, you brat. And grab the wig.
We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Robert Green from Fraser Foods joining us as we talk about economy, we talk about a possible grocery strike, we talk about coupon clipping and how that may be abusing grocery stores, supermarkets, and so forth. And I don't think it really ever dawns on people, Bob, you know, the supermarket business got to be one of the best businesses to be in. You know.
Well, yeah, if you're one of the big chains, Kroger's, if you're one of the big chains, Ralph's, I can't see where Ralph's gets off. And I've heard Ralph's complaining that there may be a strike. I don't know how they sleep at night. Ralph's has got plenty of operating capital. A smaller chain like me, and this is a real concern, Phil, if there's a strike. And there's also a real concern if there is if there's any hint of abuse in the coupon clipping system. And then I have, with all of that strain, customers that come in wanting to abuse the coupon clipping system, and here comes this woman with this little boy. He's 9 years old, I understand that. He has cancer, I understand that, and he's undergoing chemotherapy. I did not know any of these things. All I saw was this very cocky kid.
The kid was how old?
He was a 9-year-old boy, Phil. It was the way he carried himself. It was the way he carried himself.
How does a 9-year-old carry himself?
You know, Phil, unless you operate a business where you're in constant contact with the customer as I am, it's tough to explain. He walked in, he looked me. I didn't like the way he looked at me. And so...
But he's a 9-year-old kid, Bob. That's what I'm saying. You know,
I understand that. But I'm also under a lot of pressure. I'm also under a lot of strain. He's got a mother there that is about to purchase every grocery that she needs. You know, for only $10 using all these coupons that I just got done, I'm talking to you about tonight.
But she doesn't know any of that. And
no, I understand that, but you've got to realize they're there to do one thing and one thing only, and that is to abuse the store owner. Now she's got her son who is looking at me in a way I didn't like the way he looked at me. And then he had on this wig, so I pulled it off. I was angry. I apologize. She didn't do anything other than to continue to purchase groceries with her coupons and wound up spending $10. So it's an abusive environment for me and one that you wish the people would understand better.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is the number on the line here from San Antonio. Jason, go ahead. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
I think Bob needs to grow up and realize about people that... Kids have cancer and everything, but the other deal is
yes,
that men go bald. I mean,
I understand.
I'm 29 years old, and I went bald at 18 years old. So he needs to grow up and realize people mock bald people. That's all there is to it. It doesn't matter what goes on. People are going to mock you. It's part of life. The other deal is that coupons are reimbursed by the major corporations that you sell the products for. They're reimbursed.
That's correct. But to a point. But what happens is this. If people are gaming the system by using coupons for every little thing to the point where they've got a year's supply of food and they've only spent $10, sooner or later that cost gets passed on to me, as it has been. And, you know, to be quite frank, it's almost like I'm being, you know what, in a jail cell someplace. I mean, I'm trying...
Well, we don't need that kind of imagery.
Well, but what I'm trying to tell the gentleman is, between that and this kid coming in with this wig on, it puts a lot of pressure on our business.
Well, you're still getting reimbursed. Are you not getting reimbursed at any point?
To a point, and then after, no, to a point we get reimbursed,
every
and then after that they do not.
Reimbursement. Every coupon
not,
gets
not,
reimbursement.
Not all of them, no. Now we're starting to take it, we're starting to have to absorb the cost.
Okay.
So, all right.
Why not just
so that,
put
that,
a limit and ask the people that you're selling the stuff for to put a limit to that instead of getting upset at a system that y'all allowed to be flawed for 20 years.
Well, all right, I'd like to do that, but then how do I say that to a woman whose cancer, whose child has cancer,
oh,
that I just said F you to?
You're going back to that you're, to me, you have made every effort to make it sound like you were the victim in the whole situation.
Well, that's true.
And
that's true.
The kid was the victim, the ultimate victim. And if I tell you, if
I agree with you. I got to tell you, I agree with you. But why don't you see me as the victim?
I don't see you as the victim because you are a business owner. You're held to a higher standard. You are a grown man. You are held to a higher standard.
Yes, sir.
And morality.
I understand.
Than a 9-year-old kid.
It's very difficult, sir, for me to explain how it is as a CEO of a major corporation to someone who may be working on an oil rig. I don't know what you do for a living, but...
Well, what does that mean?
Well, it's hard for me to explain.
I do work in the oil field, sir, and I happen to make about $200,000 a year. So,
well, that's... I don't believe that.
Wait a minute. Why don't you believe that?
Because that's more of an income than I allow myself. I don't pay myself. My corporation doesn't pay me that much. Well, you're laughing.
You don't see how much the bonuses that Exxon Mobil makes every month and Shell Oil makes. You don't see how much
money that
they make.
Are you telling me that you work in the oil business? You work in the oil business, which is a business, not you, Jason, but the oil business basically treats the average consumer like they're some punk in a jail cell.
No.
All right.
Do we have to use that kind of imagery, please?
Well, no, but I'm saying that he's on me for ripping the wig off of a kid with cancer, and meanwhile he's in a business. Drill? You bet they do.
Hey, they pay me to do a job, and I'm going to take the money that they pay me.
They
just
pay
like
you to drill
you
me?
You set a price on your product so you make a profit. And you take the money at the end of the day, do you not?
All right, but you guys are arguing. You guys are arguing your businesses, and I want to get back to, and then we have to move on. I just want to get back to this idea that what Jason, I think, is saying is a good point, Bob. You're the adult; the little boy is 9. You have business pressure. We all do.
No. We don't all do. Yes, we all have business pressure. I give people food. I provide food, and my people are going to go out on strike. They're using coupons that basically, you know, kind of turns me over on my stomach, and everybody in the cell block has a chance.
Everybody in California that works in a grocery store is in a union or what?
There's going to be a big strike. And
yeah, there's a significant strike that's being threatened. I don't know if it's actually going to happen.
Are they a union or what? Is it a union?
Yes,
okay.
It is. Yes. How else do you think they're going on strike?
That's part of your problem
Exactly. And what I'm trying to do is I'm trying to hold it all together, and some kid comes in a wig.
All right, but the little boy didn't mean to mock you. I got to move on, Jason. Thank you so much for your call. The little boy didn't mean to mock you.
No, I understand that now, Phil. But here's what is not happening here. I'm telling you over and over and over again, I understand, I understand, I understand, I understand. Then when I get around to me, everyone is, this man and you, you guys are telling me that I'm somehow, I got to suck it up. And again, when you say suck it up, well, what are you talking about exactly? Because that's exact, and this guy was in the oil business. If ever there was a business that's passing the consumer around the cell block for a pack of cigarettes. And
what is with this jail rape analogy?
I've used it before on your show.
I understand that, but I we don't need to do that, okay? You are in a business. Times are tough. Again, you are using that to defend your abuse of this child that had a wig on that you pulled off of his head. You said F you to the kid, you effing brat. you're using his mother using coupons as further excuse as to why you treated this boy this way. And all of this has to do with the fact that you have what you call a hair system that apparently your employees are mocking. Here is Jake. Go ahead, Jake. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, just it sounds like to me that your reactions are just coming from your misperceptions of what's going on. You know what I mean? You say that you didn't know the kid had cancer and all these other
That's
things.
Correct. That's correct.
I understand that, but your misperception of him walking in with a wig on, you know, you reacted emotionally to that, and it's going to lead to some consequences. I mean, I don't know if
it's I understand it, but
legal action, but...
But I'm trying to tell Phil, and I'm trying to tell you, Jake, and anybody else, here's why I reacted the way I did. People are using coupons to the point that we're losing money. There's a threat of a strike. I've taken abuse from my employees because of a very expensive hair system that I put into place 3 years ago. So what about the pressure that I'm under?
I understand where you're coming from.
And the other... Right. And the other thing, I just want to mention one more thing. The other thing was, and I realize he's a 9-year-old boy, but he came in walking into the store like he owned the place. He had a little bit of an attitude.
Which is all your perception of this young boy. I mean, he could be walking in because he's having a great day. You know what I mean? Maybe the doctor said, hey, guess what? Your chemotherapy's working. You're having a great day. It's, you know, beautiful outside.
Well, he didn't look that bright. I mean, he looked to me like a kid. I mean, what are you saying? You're having a great day like the kid owns an insurance agency? I mean, he walked in.
He's a 9-year-old boy, and maybe he was just happy. Children like grocery stores. They like going in. They like looking at the food. They like going and touching things.
Made an assumption based on, you know, the boy's actions, and then your emotional reaction to that was pretty big. I mean, that was...
I think it needs to be said that it was a little out of focus, you know.
Well, I don't know what that means, out of focus. I just wish that, all right, I treated the boy, I said, you effing brat. I offered the mother a discount. It turns out she comes in with these coupons, so she took me to the cleaners. I mean, I think they got back at Bob Green, and at the end of the day, I'm still here with a hair system that my employees are mocking. What is that? Why is that? Nobody has an answer, huh?
Well, Bob, your employees are going to mock you, then I think you need to talk to your employees. Listen, Jake, thanks for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-PHIL. It is a very tough business environment. There's recession. There's the threat of a strike for this gentleman. There's the misuse of coupons that's been a longstanding tradition in the grocery shopping and in the grocery business that apparently now is costing him money. The fact that he has some relationship with his employees. All of this pressure led to him pulling a wig off of a little boy with cancer and using some profanity today in his store. We'll be right back. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Stephen Bozell next hour.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, back from the NAB. Well, in our News and Information Hour, I'll tell you about the National Association of Broadcasters radio show that we were at yesterday. Did a panel with a great guy, Joel Denver, Bubba the Love Sponge, the morning guys from B96 in Chicago, and saw some old friends, and we'll discuss at length, or maybe not. Anyway, 877-876-PHIL, Robert Green on the line with us from Fraser Foods, talking about the business climate, that is particularly the business climate that grocers, people in the grocery business, the food business, find themselves in. And, I get it about the coupons, Bob.
I'm Bob.
I understand that, Bob. Thank you. I get it about the coupons. I get it about the...
Hold on for a minute, Phil, if you don't mind. You see, you get it about the coupons. You get it about this. Look, my business is very important to me.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to sound flip.
But my business is very important to me. When a kid walks into my store with a wig on that looks as if he wants to do playtime or dress-up time because he thinks Mr. Green's funny-looking, that's going to get to anybody. And
it's going to get to anybody, but it is not going to get to an adult to the point of, you F you, kid, you effing this, and
well, I don't know. Have you ever owned a grocery store?
No, I have not.
All right, then I don't think you know. And secondly, and then, of course, by checkers who make fun of the hair system I've spent $15,000 on, the kid comes in. I lay part of the blame at their feet for mocking me to the point that I'm hypersensitive to that criticism. Knowing, and these are people that may go out on strike. That's what I love about it. They may go out on strike on me, and they get their last dig in by hiring a 9-year-old to come in wearing some Hobo Kelly wig. And
but they did not. They did not do that. All of that was in your mind, as this caller has just pointed out. 877-876-PHIL. Monette, I think, or...
Monette.
Ma'am in... Monette in Los Angeles. I'm sorry. Couldn't read it. You're on the air, ma'am. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't really understand what you're talking about as far as the coupon policy goes, and then your employees make fun of you for your $15,000 hairpiece, and then they go on strike.
No, ma'am, it is not a hairpiece. It's not a hairpiece, ma'am. It's not a hairpiece.
Is it the body?
It is a hair system. I beg your pardon?
I mean, is it a hair plant system? I mean, what are you...
No, it is not. No, it is not. It is not plugs. It is not a weave. It's a hair system. It is my hair.
So it's a really fancy toupee, then?
No, ma'am, it is not a toupee. And you see, I find that insulting. If I said to you...
Well, I'm pretty sure if the child you ripped the wig off thought was very insulting, considering the fact they have cancer and they're not bald, and they have a reason to wear a wig.
Well, ma'am, if I said to you, oh, are those fake breasts? That would be insulting, wouldn't it?
I mean,
and, well, not,
really
not quite.
In this day and age, and 95% of the people do have fake breasts, it's sort of like a fair question. Although, if I didn't know you, I'd think that was rude. But
it's a little rude.
Don't you really think?
It's a little rude.
Why is it rude?
Because it's a gentleman asking a lady a question. I just think it's rude.
Oh boy. Okay. So I don't get any. Oh wow.
But Bob, I'm talking about in a polite society, men don't ask women certain questions. Okay. And
well, then why does a kid, a 9-year-old, get to strut into my store like he owns the place?
This is a 9-year-old child.
I don't think anyone can strut into any local grocery store like they own it unless you really don't feel that confident in your business, sir.
I feel very confident in my business, ma'am, but what I...
I don't really think you feel that confident in your business if you're calling the Phil Henry Show at whatever clock time it is in your hour to complain about whatever it is that went on in your grocery store and you ripped the wig off a kid. I really don't feel that you feel that confident in your business, sir. But if you did,
ma'am, first of all, I'm in California.
To be nice. Okay, well, so am I. I wouldn't go to your grocery
right, so
store
I,
knowing what you did to a child. And I'm pretty sure
I didn't
you
do anything to a,
doing that.
I didn't do anything to a child. I took a wig off of a kid's head that was trying
That's
to...
A child? I mean, are they not children? I mean, what?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, they are. They're children,
okay,
and they
then,
need to
then
be
you
treated.
Ripped a wig off of a child's head who was suffering from a terminal illness because, oh, wow, you're vain, you got a hair plug system, and people make fun of you, so therefore you thought that you can make fun of someone else. You're very
no,
vain,
ma'am.
And you're very rude. That's
no, ma'am, I didn't, first of all, I think you need
obviously.
To understand it. If the child, let's not say the child's disease is
no,
terminal.
No, sir, I don't think you
live.
Understand.
Well, I don't think you understand one thing. The
what?
Woman that came in with the kid, the mother, she proceeded to use coupons that basically
I use coupons.
Drove
How
me.
About this? How about this, sir? I use coupons, and I'm an avid coupon user. How about you read the fine print on the coupon and have your scanners work accordingly instead of doubling coupons that are not supposed to be doubled, allowing more than
right.
four and one coupons to be used in the same transaction? That's your fault. The manufacturer coupons specifically state the rules and guidelines. You don't accommodate them. That's on you.
Well, ma'am, you see how you know all the rules, and I would have to. I'll bet you are. I'll bet you are, and I would. I'm sure that you are, and I'm sure that you would probably take it. Well, you'd probably try to take me to the cleaners, just like the mother of this kid with the wig.
Well, Bob,
well,
again,
no one can
you're...
take anyone to the cleaners if you don't let them. Read the coupons yourself. Have your scanners work
right.
accordingly. Call the tech people. That's on you. If you don't read the coupons yourself, then you can't say you're getting robbed.
I don't know what you just said. You speak very quickly, and I understand it's a trait for Hispanics, but what I'm trying to say is...
Whoa. Let's not go down there, okay?
That's
down
really
where?
Funny. I'm not a Hispanic.
No.
That's very cute.
Well, you were talking... I'm sorry, Phil.
Don't start characterizing racially.
Well, she like the lady that cleans my house talks that fast.
I have to speak over you because you're very belligerent and ignorant, and I have to make sure that I need to say what I need to hear clearly because you won't hear it otherwise. And excuse me if I talk fast. You have a college education, sir? You own a grocery store. I don't think people who own grocery stores go to college, do you? Did you?
Now see how she gets to it. See how she gets to insult me, and I can't say anything about
because
it.
Why is that an insult?
Me on my race, you're not intelligent. You did a totally unintelligent thing, so I get to ask you if you have an education. That's fair.
So calling you Hispanic was an insult. Wow, there's a lot of Hispanic people.
I'm not Hispanic first and foremost.
All right, but how's that an insult?
Okay, Bob. I don't want to get into this.
And you're racially profiling me.
Yeah, I don't. All right, I don't want to talk about this. I don't want to talk about race. We're going to continue this into the next hour if you've got the time, Bob.
Well, I do want to correct the record on a couple of things. First of all, this lady said that I didn't go to college. She's right. I didn't go to college. Secondly, she says she's not Hispanic. I think that's yet to be proved. Thirdly,
all right,
yeah, sure. Thirdly,
all right, we got to take a break. Thank you, Monique. It was a very good call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Robert Greene from Fraser Foods, back after
Phil
this.
Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry show, just showing on our Phil TV in HD, a Earth cam there from Times Square in New York, where it's around 5 minutes after 2 a.m. And a beautiful picture it is there of a great city. We're here at the El Pacifico out on the opposite coast in California, but we are live every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what the hell it's talking about. And, of course, this is Radio for Patriots by Patriots. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Joining me also online from Fraser Foods in Buena Park is Robert Greene. We've been talking to Bob, and we'll continue with our conversation. We'll try to get to Steve Bozell this hour, but we are talking about something that's very important. We're talking about the economy. We're talking about how businesses are dealing with the economy, how consumers are dealing with the economy, and really the emotional stress, Bob, of business, correct?
Well, I think that's a very good way of describing it. I think that there are an awful lot of people in the business world, such as myself. We are retail people, Phil. We're talking to the customers every day. We're talking to the people that are making our business and breaking our business, and every day I'm grateful for the good customers that we've got. But I can't do anything if my workers want to go on strike. I have very little that I can do if my customers, the very people that I'm trying to super serve, these are the words that I came up with about 2 years ago in a meeting of grocers here in Southern California. I came up with a term called super serve. And I notice a lot of people are using that now. A lot of people in other businesses are using it. I don't know if they give me credit or not. That's one of those little small pressures. You think about that. I came up with just a simple term, super serve, which is now being used by other people in other businesses, and they don't give me credit. That's fine. I understand that's how business works. My customers are using coupons, and they are using them to the point where it's costing me money. I understand that's how business works. The fact that my employees may go out on strike, okay, I got to eat that one too. And then on top of everything else, my employees who may go out on strike make fun of a hair system, and I heard the lady say toupee, and I let it go.
Bob, somebody, sometime this hour, not now, but you need to explain to us what you mean by a hair system. If it's not a toupee, if it's not implants, if it's not a weave, I don't know what it is. And why your employees have mocked you and have made fun of this, you still, I don't think, have sold to a lot of people why you grabbed the wig off of a 9-year-old boy.
Because, Phil, in many ways, I'm like that 9-year-old boy. That little boy had cancer. I am going through a lot. And I lashed out at the kid because he was the male. There's a mother and there is a male. There is a boy and a mom. He was the man at that moment. What was I going to do, walk up to his mother and slap her face? Which is what I really wanted to do when she pulled those coupons out. and I didn't do it. Of course we don't act on these impulses if we're adults. And
well, if we're adults, we don't grab the wig off of a 9-year-old boy's head.
Unless the kid's walking into my store like he owns the place.
And well, I even if he was, he's a 9-year-old child, and
well, you're using that really as an excuse for everything. And if he, what if he took out a knife and he plunged it through my face?
Oh, come on, Bob. You know.
No, I'm just asking you. Was he still a 9-year-old boy?
Bob, I don't want to get into that because.
You know, you don't want to get into that because it destroys your argument that he's a 9-year-old boy. If he took a knife and he shoved it right through my face. And that's what I'm talking about.
Well, that's a ghoulish, ridiculous thing to say. You know full well that's not what you were facing today. 877-876-PHIL. Are retail businesses going through such economic pressure? Is it putting too much pressure on the workers? Where Bob Green today had this incident with this 9-year-old boy. Here is Gail in Buffalo, New York. Go ahead, Gail. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hi. Yeah, the first thing I say is there is no excuse to lay a hand on another child. I mean, even parents aren't supposed to be hitting their kids. And
well,
it doesn't sound like you feel bad about this at all. And that's
I do feel bad. I feel bad for everything. I feel bad for the fact that I had to hit him. I feel bad for the fact that you had to hit him. You
didn't have to lay a hand on him. It sounds to me like you got some psychological issues. And you keep coming
back.
Well,
I think that's a highly personal comment to make. I'm a business owner,
absolutely,
and I'm trying to run a business.
It is. And if I went to your store and I heard you talking like anything you said on the radio here, I wouldn't come into your store at all. I'm surprised you have customers at all if you complain about stuff like this. And you
I'm not allowed to run my business. I'm not allowed to run my business. And we're in the middle of a business climate, ma'am. It's a recession. Everybody's under a lot of pressure.
Absolutely,
I'm asking for people to understand
I live here in Buffalo, New York, and our city is almost dead because of the recession. But it seems to me like you need affirmation to keep bringing up the hair thing.
No, ma'am, you live in a city that's dead no matter what. It's a little joke.
Nice
I'm making a joke.
That's
a real nice thing to say. We're not joking right now, Bob.
I understand that.
We're talking about something that happened in your store that a lot of people, including myself, were my son, I'd be put out.
Well, I don't know what you mean by that.
I also meant that I should be speaking slower because I guess you don't understand things from the last things you were telling the last caller.
Wow. What does that mean?
The last caller spoke too fast.
Yeah, so
the last caller was a Hispanic lady going,
I didn't understand
what she was saying.
I want you to know that I'm Caucasian and I'm German. So if I am speaking too quickly.
That's a different problem. Well, that's a different problem.
So if you don't like coupons.
What is that supposed to mean?
We do offer coupons, ma'am, but you can find in the industry, I'm not the only one who says that customers abuse them.
Okay,
and they abuse the system.
Why don't you limit the number of coupons you take?
Because then the very lady whose kid came in wearing that wig is going to start screaming at me.
Why do you keep bringing this kid up? What is this kid? Does he bring something up from your childhood? Or what is this?
Don't be ridiculous. Ma'am, don't be ridiculous.
Well, Bob, if you want to put it into...
Phil, listen. I'm a businessman. I have employees that are about to go out on strike.
You know,
I have customers that are abusing.
I wouldn't be working
and
for you.
Those very employees that are about to go out on strike like to dig it in when I walk in wearing a hair system.
You know what?
And so, yes?
You seem to have a problem with this hair system. Maybe you need to get a new one. Maybe you need to talk to, like, William Shatner about his toupees.
Well, ma'am, you sound like you think you're funny, and this is a very real and serious business.
You know what?
The thing of it is, Bob, is that I don't understand is that you are taking the reaction to the child.
I've apologized a million times. I don't know how many times I can apologize.
Well, I would still sue
I'm
you.
Sorry.
I would still sue your
Of course
store.
You would. You live in Buffalo, and that's about how you've got to make a living now.
Oh,
and,
all right, you know, that's really pretty lame.
Right.
Pretty lame thing to say.
Oh, it's lame? Was it lame?
Yes, it's very lame.
He has to say lame things because he doesn't have anything intelligent to say.
Wait a minute. Did you call this show and say that you're from Buffalo, New York? Didn't you say that?
So what if she's from Buffalo, New York?
You don't have
so
a
what?
Nice thing to say about anybody.
I do. I said to the boy I was sorry. I offered
After
his mother a
you
discount.
Did, you shouldn't even touched him. You know what? I work with mentally and physically handicapped people, and if I was to touch them, I would lose my job. Why didn't you lose your job?
So if one, if one of them was going to fall down some stairs, you'd have to let them fall.
I didn't say that. I said I wouldn't lay a hand on them.
You said you can't touch them.
In anger, Bob. And what we're talking about here was the customer. A woman walked in with a little boy who was 9 years old. You said the kid walked in like he owned the place.
I think if you're having a bad day, you need to take some time off. You need to step away from what you're doing.
Well, ma'am, I own a business. This is what I mean. I own a large corporation that has stores throughout the Southwest and Southeast. And if
I feel bad for your employees.
Of, you know, you remind me of so many of these women that come into the produce section and they're like,
against women and
what's
children?
Up with
them? You're a nice
no,
guy.
No, I do not. It's just you remind me of these women. Hey, what's with your melons and why is the corn this way and that? And I'm like, why don't you just shut up and buy it?
Oh my God! I can't
wow, what a fantastic relationship you have with your customers. Listen, I got to take a break. Gail, thank you very much for your call. Our number 877-876 Phil. Just put them on hold. I don't want to 877-876-7445. Robert Green from Fraser Foods on an incident in his store today. With all of the pressure, with all of the pressure of a recession, the pressure of a possible strike, the pressure of people using coupons in grocery stores more and more and more and more, he lashed out at a customer's child and grabbed a wig off of the kid's head. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Hold on for a minute. What?
Mr. Hall said.
David?
Yeah, listen, you've got another quarter hour. You might as well just go to the bottom of the hour with Bob Green and then at 11:30 pick up with Bozell. All right?
Yeah, that's fine. I would rather you tell me this off the air.
I'm sorry. If we're on the air, I apologize, Phil. I thought I was...
Bud?
He said he wanted to talk.
But if I want to talk to him off the air, all right? I'll talk to him off the air.
All right, we'll go off the air now.
Wait a minute, give me the microphone. But what are you doing? Are you an idiot or something?
You want to go off the air?
We don't have any commercials. God. David?
And the other people, too.
I didn't hear you.
What?
I didn't hear anything you just said.
Well, what are you doing?
Bud took us off the air for about a half a second there.
I said, go to the bottom of the hour with this guy Green, then pick up with Steve Bozell, because this guy Green, doesn't he have a tape recording of him screaming?
We already heard it. Bob, are you there?
Yeah, I'm right here. I don't know. Who's this gentleman? Yeah, it's David G. Hall, Bob. I understand you have a tape of you going, I'm in hell.
Yeah, I do. This was a tape that I recorded in my office earlier today. You can cue it.
I'm in hell!
That's it, Phil. So what we're doing is preparing a lawsuit.
And who are you suing?
I'm going to have to sue my checkers. They're the ones that began this process of sort of ratcheting it up, ratcheting it up. Ratcheting it up. And is that the only tape recording?
Hey, David, thank you and good night, okay?
Wait a second.
Don't put... if you put somebody on the air again that I tell you, you got to clear it through me, okay?
What? You just go, if you put somebody on the air again that I tell you, that doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me either.
All right. Hold on for a minute. Just remember what I said.
What you said?
Just remember what I said. Robert Green with us, 877-876-PHIL. Now, Bob...
Phil, let me interrupt. That's a classic example of what I have been excoriated for here over the last hour and 20 minutes. The way you just talked to that gentleman, Mr. Dickman, my understanding is he also may have some developmental disability of some kind, or he apparently he's got brain damage or something.
I got brain from rolling a bike.
He rolled a motorcycle.
All right, but the way you spoke to him was the same way I talked to this 9-year-old. In fact, I was more honest with the 9-year-old. I said to him, F you, you effing brat.
Well, isn't that and you think that that's superior to the way I just talked to my employee here? Listen, I am saying quite succinctly that you apparently, and this is what this lady said, have an emotional strain.
If you say that I belong in a nut, if you try to go there, that I belong in a nut hatch.
I didn't say anything of the sort. I'm saying that you are, obviously, work is tough these days. Why don't you take some time off?
Take some time off in a recession. Boy, this guy's good.
Well, you, Mr. Green, I'm not here for the amusement of whoever's in the office with you, okay?
I'm sorry, but you want me to take time off during a recession, that's fine. And I suppose at some point, for a minute.
What is that?
That's an espresso machine. Yeah, that's it. Lots of foam. Yeah. We are working late tonight, Phil, and one of the reasons why we're working late is I'm trying to put together quantitatively how much money I've lost since the coupon abuse started, and then how much money I will lose when my employees go out on strike, how much money I lost today when that mother came in with the 9-year-old with the ill-fitting wig who I felt was mocking me. Okay, he wasn't. Fine. We'll move on. But how much money did I lose there? So I'm going to be working all night. Give me another one. That's it, yeah. A lot of whipped cream on it this time, Eddie.
Bob, what are you doing?
Oh, I'm making an espresso. Is that all right with you?
And why the sarcasm?
Because everything that I'm doing is come in for criticism, and I'm simply trying to get myself to do it again. I don't like the taste of that. Come on. I don't want it to taste like someone's rear end, all right?
Hey, Robert, remember we're on the air.
I apologize, Phil. But what I am saying is, there you go. Yeah. I like that triple shot. What a dumbass. Give me 3 shots. Hold on, Phil.
Yeah, sure.
Well, what are you upset about?
I'm trying to get an interview done here while you're making yourself one latte after the next, after the next, after the next.
I wanted 3 shots. I'm working all night. Is that all right with you?
That's perfectly fine.
Okay. So we're going to work all night tonight because of what happened. And
well, what you're telling me you're going to be working all night tonight, I certainly understand if you got to balance the books. I understand that. If you're anticipating a strike, I understand that. I don't quite get how this little boy today, who's making another espresso.
Yeah, I threw that one out. I said don't make it taste like ass. What's wrong with you?
I don't know.
I've got a new kid here, Phil. I apologize. I brought him up from the stock room. Good kid. But I'm getting him to work the espresso. Yeah, that's great. All right, he finally got it right. The first two tasted like they're like you strained it through your own underwear. That's what it tasted like. Well, next time, learn how to use a machine.
Bob.
Oh, hold on just a minute. You understand what I'm saying? No, I'm sorry, but I've got to. This is the environment we're in right now. You understand what I'm saying? No, but the first two that you made, it tasted like you used your own underwear as a strainer for the coffee. I know you didn't do it. I'm not saying that you did do it. I'm saying that the way it tasted like you strained the coffee grounds right through a skid mark in your own underwear. You understand?
Yeah, all right.
Jesus, God. You know, and they say you're not allowed to use the R word anymore.
Okay, can we get back to talking?
Yeah. There was never any problem.
You asked me to hold on while you were talking to this guy.
I apologize.
All right. So the notion, therefore, that you're not under any excessive emotional strain that would necessitate you taking time off basically means the following thing, that buyer beware when they come into your store.
That's the baby. That's what I've been trying to say. You walk into the store of a man who's about to have workers go out on strike, of a man who has customers that are taking him out to the tool shed. Notice I didn't say work shed. I said tool shed with coupons. I didn't say work, I said tool, okay?
Yes.
All right. You put that man, and on top of that, the fact that he has been taking it from his employees nonstop for 6 months over a hair system that cost him a lot of money,
I'm curious. What have they been saying?
What's that?
The employees, what have they been saying about your hair system?
Well, one of the things they say that I find it's very, very wrong. I got to get another. Hold on, Phil. I got to get another one. This is crazy. What are you doing?
Hey, Bob, would you give me the courtesy of...
Hold on, Phil. What are you doing? Are you using the coffee filters or are you using a chalk strap? Now, which is it?
Bob?
Do you mind?
Yes, I do mind, because I've only got a couple of minutes left in the quarter hour.
I'll get to you in a minute. So, buyer beware, yes, you're right, Phil. I think that when you come into any man's store who's under the kind of pressure that I'm under, and now add to the coupon problem, add to the strike problem, add to the hair system problem, and add to the fact that the little boy who had the wig on, his mother took me to the cleaners for about $150. Now add to that a guy in my office that can't make a triple shot latte without straining it right straight through the crotch of his underwear. The hell you did?
That's a rough problem.
Oh, yeah. Do it one more time, will you?
Oh, come on, will you, with this coffee, man? I've had a few seconds left to interview you. Here we go again.
Yeah, here we go again. I'm working over here.
That's what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's it. There you go. There you go. Give me some whipped cream this time, okay? What? Because I don't know whether you're straight. I'm going to open that up, and if I find your underwear in there, I want whipped cream to make it taste good. That's why. Because right now, the way you're making them, I swear to God, man. What are you doing, Eddie? Where are you getting the coffee? Out of a cat's rectum?
All right. Thanks a lot, Bob. At one time, it was a family show.
I'm sorry. I forgot we were on the air.
Yeah, we're on the air, all right. We'll be back. Stephen Bozell for a few minutes with us here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. God almighty. That guy.
Are you wearing underwear? Well, I guess you wouldn't be.
Phil Hendry. Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And again, that number, 877-876-PHIL. And we've only got a few minutes. I want to bring on Stephen Bozell, the construction contractor from Corona, California. We are going to talk with him a little bit here this evening about the legal action, or it's not legal action, I guess, but is it?
No, well, it's got a boycott.
Is it the Parents Council?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's right. The television show Dancing with the Stars is going to be featuring Chaz Bono.
Bono, the guy from YouTube.
Yeah, no, I know that. Chaz Bono, who at one time was Chastity Bono. Chastity Bono, born the daughter of Sonny and Cher Bono, but eventually went through gender reassignment surgery and is today Chaz Bono, a young man. And Stephen Bozell is going to join us to talk about that very, dilemma in the minds of some viewers. And the Family Council, this Parent Television Council, whatever the hell that thing is, they've gotten involved. I got to tell you, I find it really, I don't think it's fair to call yourself the parents this or that. It really, here's what happens. People get the idea that you're speaking for millions and millions and millions of people. You know, and that's just not the case. People get the idea that you're speaking on behalf of millions of people. You might have sent out an email to millions of people. You might have sent out an email to millions of people, and maybe thousands responded. And so you begin to sell it to the public. This is what you say. We're the Parent Television Council, and we have thousands, if not millions, of people who are members. And that's not true. But that's what they've been doing. They've been selling it that way. All right, let's get on the line here. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. Ms. Bozell, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very good.
And you are in transit out of your home from... You're working late this evening, is my understanding.
Yes, sir, but I'm very capable. I've got a radio phone in my truck.
Okay. I know that you are a construction contractor. You're also the father of two children.
Yes, sir.
and a husband. You live in Corona, California. What is your major? And I know that you have teamed up with this television council. Is that right?
No, it is. It's the parent parent oversight, which is parents who are watching programs on television and monitoring programs on television to make sure that these are shows that, of course, our young people are shows that our young people would be we feel would be safe watching. I don't think that this Dancing with the Stars show it falls into that category. I've said as much to members of our oversight, and I've also sent telegrams for every member of our organization. I heard what you were saying about the Parent Television Council. I think it's probably a valid point, but we're not aligned with them at all.
How many people in your organization?
We've got about probably 2,000 people that are very active in.
And what do you mean by active?
Well, Mr. Henry, I don't really. I mean, if you want, I'd be very happy to get into a discussion of the veracity of our membership and so forth. My intention was to talk about this show, Dancing with the Stars.
No, I know that, but my audience is going to want to know who you represent. Do you speak for yourself? Do you speak for others?
I speak for quite a few other families, yes, sir. Many, many parents.
Okay, all right. Well, you know, I'll take it your word there, sir. I wanted to know, again, to get some vague outline of the organization that you're involved in. Now, what is the major complaint that you have with this television show?
Well, I think you outlined it very well at the beginning of your talk when you said that the television show, this Dancing with the Stars, which, by the way, on Monday night will be the night that this Chaz Bono is dancing with this very beautiful young woman.
Could we find out the name of that lady? I don't know, Dan or Chris. The name of the young lady that Chaz Bono is dancing with?
Yeah, I don't have it. I apologize.
That's all right. Maybe those guys can look it up. It's not a big deal, guys. We'll find it eventually. So go ahead.
Well, she's very lovely, and Chaz Bono has been photographed dancing with her in what you call rehearsal. And if you've seen Chaz Bono, this is a person who is very big, looks to be overweight. I'm simply saying the following thing, and I think that this gets right to the crux of what I'm talking about. I was a young man. I married my wife, April. She was the first woman that I have ever been involved with intimately. I'm very proud of that, but I never went out and did many things, and I know a lot of guys are like that, many men that are listening right now. You marry your childhood sweetheart, and that's what you do.
And by the way, that young lady's name is Lacey Schwimmer. Lacey Schwimmer.
Yes, she's a blonde woman.
I believe so, yeah.
She's very, very beautiful.
She is. I guess she's a really good dancer, too.
I don't know. I my understanding is that many of the people that dance on that show look pretty, look very awkward, look stupid.
They have, generally they'll team up an amateur or a famous amateur with a professional dancer, you know, I think is how that works.
Well, okay, but here, in any event, Mr. Henry, I think what I'm trying to say is this. There's millions of American men that are going to tune in on Monday night and see a person that used to be a woman and is now claiming to be a man, and he, or, you know, if you want to call him he, is with this beautiful, beautiful young lady, and he weighs almost 300 pounds. I dare you to take a picture of Chaz Bono and just to show it to the average woman who doesn't know who he is. I dare you to do that and find one woman that would even so much as shake his hand, let alone dance with him. You see what I'm saying?
Well, not really, because you haven't gotten to the crux of why it is you are complaining. I understand what your feelings may be about Chaz Bono and the way he looks.
Okay, well, the crux of the matter is this. Chaz Bono is on TV dancing with this Lacey Schwimmer, who is beautiful. I've never danced with a woman that looks that good. Thousands of American men who will be watching that show on Monday night have never danced with a woman that looks that good. And here's this big, fat, out-of-shape, woman that used to, you know, was a woman, now is a man. I mean, not even a, it doesn't make any sense. And I'm trying to be very clear.
Are you saying that you're insulted that a transgender person gets to dance with a really attractive woman?
Yes. Yes, sir.
And what is offensive about that?
Because I was born a man, have always been a man. I'm a man now. Okay? I've never had a shot at something like that. Now, I'm a very happily married man. Okay?
All right.
And
I'm sure there's a lot of guys that you're speaking on behalf of that are also very happily married.
I don't know that. But none of us, or very few of us, ever had a shot at something that looks that good. And here is I don't know.
Just, you can say a man. Chaz Bono is a man now. Chaz Bono at one time was a woman when his name was Chastity Bono and she was a she. But today he's a man.
It's very hard for me to say that. And
well, you're going to have to learn how to say it because we're all living in a rapidly changing world, and that's exactly who he is, and that's what he is, and you're not going to be able to... What are you going to do? You know?
But why can't I point out something obvious? Somebody that used to be a woman is now a man, and that means that the actual reproductive organs, it probably is... Oh, boy. I mean, are you kidding? So... A reproductive organ that's no bigger than my thumb.
All right, this is what I was afraid of, okay? I don't want to get into the graphics of that. I don't need to hear that because that's not really what we're talking about. You're talking about a problem with a TV show that is showing a transgender person dancing with a beautiful woman, and your problem has nothing to do with kids. It has to do with grown men.
No, sir, it has everything to do with the children. To expose the children to an individual that mocks their fathers is, I think, very destructive. And
how do the children know that Chaz Bono is mocking their fathers? You know,
I think it's very obvious to any child that you want to talk to or be with. Talk to the average child. Go out on the street with a microphone and just interview any kid that's walking down the street. And say, if you see Chaz Bono dancing on Dancing with the Stars, I mean, give me a break.
Yeah. What? No. I want to know, what am I going to say to this kid? And how old is the kid? This is the second hour, by the way. We're at the third hour. We're into talking about kids.
Well, yeah, no, I'm saying the average kid, say...
What's the demographic? A kid? Teenagers?
Yeah.
Okay, like an 11, 12-year-old?
Okay.
So I'm going to talk to that kid, and I'm going to say, do you realize that Chaz...
No, you don't have to say that. Just ask them, what do you think about Chaz Bono dancing on Dance with the Stars? I think your average 12, 13-year-old kid is going to go, yeah, it makes fun of my dad because my dad's never had a shot at that. And
your dad's never had a shot at that.
I'm talking to Ms. Schwimmer.
All right, so why don't we say that? My dad never dated a girl as good-looking as Lacey Schwimmer, and here's Chaz Bono, who used to be a woman, and now he's dating this really hot-looking girl.
Exactly.
It could have a lot to do, Mr. Bozell, with the celebrity of Chaz Bono. It could have a lot to do with that, the fact that it's a TV show, so, I mean, you could get the ugliest guy in the world on a TV show. He's going to dance with a beautiful girl. I mean, it's part of the entertainment value. Are you afraid that Chaz Bono in real life is attractive to beautiful women?
I'm saying that it gives the impression, and that's the big problem that, you know, the problem that I've got is that it gives the impression that you could be a woman, go in, have some work done, and then come out and go straight into the dance hall with, you know, a piece of tail like that. And
that mocks you in front of your kids.
I believe so, yes, sir. I do.
877-876-PHIL is our number. 877-876-7445. Do you believe that Chaz Bono being on TV, Chaz Bono, the son of the late Sonny Bono and Cher Bono, at one time, a female named Chastity Bono. Do you think that Chaz Bono being on Dancing with the Stars mocks the average American male because he used to be a her and now he's a he and he's got a beautiful blonde partner to dance with on television? And
well, the way you put that, Mr. Andrew, I think mocks every man that's concerned about this Bono and what he, you know, what he gets to. I won't make a joke.
No, please don't make a joke, sir. It's not funny. It's not joke. It's not a joking matter. 877-876-PHIL is our number. We'll be back here with Stephen Bozell. Does Chaz Bono mock men by dancing on Dancing with the Stars, a transgender guy dancing with his beautiful partner? The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
Bono got a book.
Never mind.
Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Stephen Bozell from Corona, California. We'll get to some phone calls. We don't have a lot of time, but basically your complaint representing this group, Parent Oversight, is that Chaz Bono, having not been born a man, now a man, after gender reassignment surgery.
Installed, you know. I thought that was offensive.
You were the guy that said he had one installed. I didn't say that,
sir. The point that I'm making here is that this is a transgender person, as you put it, who gets an opportunity to dance on a TV program with a very, you know, beautiful woman, and I've not had no chance to do that. What's that about? I mean, that.
It could very well be that you've got that you're fixating on something that a lot of guys are not fixating on. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Steve. Steve, go ahead. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, sir. I've been listening and I love the show, but this just sounds to me like he's jealous. He's jealous of Bono because he gets. You've never had a shot at a beautiful woman. Big deal. So he gets one. I mean, it doesn't matter that he was a man or a woman before. This woman obviously doesn't have a problem with it, and you shouldn't either. And if you have a problem with your kids watching it, turn the TV off. I have three kids myself, and I watch what my kids watch. And if I think it's not, I don't complain to everybody in the world about what to watch on TV. I turn my TV off or I turn the channel. It's that simple.
I understand that, sir, but okay, are you going to allow your children to watch Chaz Bono? That's the one of the things, you know, our group's talking about.
I don't find it offensive, and how would they know?
I think they're going to ask the obvious question. Dad, what is that big, fat slob doing with such a beautiful woman?
And what a way to describe this man, Chaz Bono, a big, fat slob.
Well, if you've seen the man...
I have.
All right, how does that work? How does a guy like that, okay, I would ask this gentleman, or any man, doesn't it seem strange that a man that looks like that, that used to be a woman, gets to take a beautiful blonde to bed? And
you don't know that he's taking her to, how do all of a sudden are we getting to that?
Sir, it's a television program, they've teamed him up with her, I think it stands to reason. And
boy, I think you've got some other ideas about television and entertainment that might have to be worked out a little bit. Here is Lathan in Washington State. Go ahead, Lathan. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah, I just really feel like this guy's kind of projecting his misfortunes on other people. I mean, how does your wife feel that you're so obsessed with these chances that you feel you've missed out on? I, for one, I'm out of shape, and my wife is beautiful. I have a cousin who's, as you would put it, a big fat slob, if you want to go on BMI, and he has a gorgeous wife. And I think that it's kind of unfair to your wife to go out there and be really upset about missing a shot with somebody attractive. Don't you find your wife attractive?
That's a good question.
Of course I do, sir. She's the mother of my two children. I think that my wife, when I first met her, was one of the most beautiful women I've ever seen. She had two kids. Her body went away, you know, and it ain't never going to come back.
I hope for your sake she's not listening. I hope for her sake she doesn't hear that. That's terrible. My wife could lose a leg and gain 500 pounds, and I'd still think she's beautiful.
Of course I think my wife's beautiful, but you know as well as I do when they have children. Do you have children?
Yeah, I do.
Okay, you know she lost her shape and ain't never going to come back.
My wife weighs 95 pounds. My wife is 5'1" and weighs 95 pounds and has a gorgeous figure.
Well, all right. I'm just saying it's very strange, and in your home, you're going to do what you're going to do. But if your children come to you and ask you how a transgender, whatever you want to call it, is suddenly there with this beautiful woman.
Why would the children, if their father has no problem with it, why would they have that mindset?
Maybe they have a teacher. Maybe they have a little league coach. Maybe they have someone who said, well, look at that freak. And what are you going to do?
Then I would say to them that I teach people to accept other people for who they are, number one. Number two, this guy is dancing with somebody as part of a television show. And number three, if there was a relationship merit, it'd probably be based on his personality, something you seem to not be able to find out.
Well, sir, how do you figure that? I mean,
it's a coupling on television that has nothing to do necessarily with any kind of relationship. Number one, I mean, it's TV for heaven's sake. And number two,
right.
If it was a legitimate relationship, you think that maybe she might get to know this guy, that maybe, you know what, people aren't just what they look like, that there's something more to them, something inside that matters?
Of course. But at the end of the day, if this man has been had a gender reassignment surgery, which means that the male, you know, reproductive part is not going to be much bigger than your finger.
Oh, come on, man. You know, this is a juvenile
That's
conversation.
And you claim to be looking out for kids, and all you can
yes,
focus
sir.
On is male anatomy and genitalia and discussing this kind of thing on the air. You should be ashamed.
Of course.
I hope your followers
why
are listening.
Why would I be ashamed of that? If it makes me look bad, it makes you look bad. Every man out there that was born a man and has one that's normal.
So what, man? And what has that got to do with the kids? That's the whole thing. What's that got to do with the kids? You know, so what if you were born a man, Chaz Bono? That's the whole thing about the transgender phenomenon that we've come to understand. There's people who are obviously far more human in another gender body, in another body that is a different gender.
Well, okay, I've heard you stumble through that, Mr. Henry, but I bet you this man couldn't say, and you stumbled through it.
What do you mean I stumbled through it? What the hell am I stumbling through?
The fact you're trying to tell me about some guy that was born a woman, now he's a man, had to have it installed, and now he's dancing with a beautiful woman on TV.
First of all, the guy is the son of celebrities, Sonny and Cher Bono. So people are going to know who he is. He's been raised in the public eye since...
He was a she. There you go.
I'm gonna. If I can have one more point in, and I know I'm kind of running long-winded on this. I'm a medical professional, and biologically and biochemically, there are circumstances where, and I'm not saying this is all the time, but sometimes a person's brain will develop.
Yeah, that's right.
Like that.
Yeah, that's real interesting. Sure, thanks a lot.
From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch, and where we go anywhere, everywhere, including through that proverbial looking glass to bring you the kind of entertainment we bring you, places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. 877-876 Phil with me is Bud Dickman. Bud, how you doing?
Very good, Mr. Henry.
And Robert Leonard. Robert?
Real good.
I didn't ask you how you were doing.
Ha, ha, ha.
Yeah, well, you were going to ask me.
Yes, I was. How are you doing?
I'm doing real good.
All right. And this is our News and Information Hour, and we will be getting into news and be getting into information. Also, I have been remiss, and I apologize. We usually do our affiliate spotlight, and it has just been, we're just going from 1 hour to the next, and I keep forgetting to spotlight our affiliates tonight. And tonight, two great affiliates, WKRS in Chicago, where we just were at the National Association of Broadcasters radio show, and great people in Houston, KPRC Houston. Great stations. Thank you so much for your support of our show. We're also at philhendryshow.com, archives of our radio show going back 15 years. We have archives of our video casts, 5-day archives of the video casts. We have podcasts of each and every show that you can get off of iTunes. We have our webisodes. We have our video rants. We have our classic Phil podcast. We've got our news feed, our blog feed. It's all there for you if you have a backstage pass. So join us at philhenryshow.com. Pick up a backstage pass and find out what it am all about. Okay? Find out what people are talking about. All right. I was at the National Association of Broadcasters, and that was in Chicago. And it was, what is that noise?
I think it's that Times Square cam.
Turn that thing. I've got this Times Square cam. Turn it off. Good, it's gone. God almighty.
Yeah, well, it's the sound of the street.
It's driving me nuts. I'm hearing this. I thought it was crickets, and then I realized it's cars, and it's on that. We use the EarthCam service occasionally on our video cast so we can see what's happening. We just had the Times Square cam on. Okay. So, yeah, it was an interesting time. We went back there Thursday morning, and I was on a panel with Bubba the Love Sponge, the morning show from B96 FM in Chicago. Joel Denver was our moderator, and we talked about building community through the through social media and through the internet, which is what we do with our website, building a community of listeners. And I've been talking to my listeners. Talk radio is by nature a controversial medium. It's not any good unless it's controversial. It's not interesting unless it's controversial. Talk radio has to have conflict. It has to have that kind of controversy to really attract people. And so on our show, we have our fair share of weird asses. And the people that I talk to are my fans, the people that love the show, the people that are follow the show. And I've been telling them that, you know, what we need to do is continue to create this community of listeners and of subscribers to our website and of people that are listening to the show right now on the radio. And to that end, we're going to do some more chats, I think, with Philaholic over at Twitter, bud.
Yeah, you should message him or something in the next couple of days. Let him know.
I will. And I'd like to do more of those and other things that are going to kind of draw the listeners in, subscribers and listeners in, so we can hear more about what it is that's going on with them. But
I think you did a good topic tonight talking about them coupons.
Well, that was a good talking about coupons in the grocery stores.
Yeah.
I think that's good, but that guy Bob Green you talk about a guy that needs a head shrinker.
Yeah, well, he's talking about taking a wig off a kid.
You want to ride the wig off that kid?
What do you mean he wanted to ride the wig off?
Well, he's going to take a wig down. He's going to take the kid down for the wig.
The guy, Bob Green's got a problem because he wanted to take the wig off the kid because he thought the kid was making fun of him because of his hair system. So anyway, yeah, those are topics that people are interested in, and the way we do our show, et cetera, et cetera. So we're going to keep closer contact with the people that listen to the show and give them sort of a touch point that's positive for this radio show rather than them having to go to our comments section at night and deal with people that have got a problem with the show. And I'll tell you this. As I said during the break, and I'll say it again, if you just ignore them and contact and talk to and otherwise strengthen your conversations with people that like the show the way you do, then those people don't really, they're not talking to anybody anymore. All right, the NFL wants pat-downs from the ankles up at all stadiums. As we live in a new day and a new age and there's new things going on, and people think that it's just we're flipping our lids and, oh, my God, what's happened to the world? And all it is, folks, is the world just turning and new things are happening all the time. I just got done reading a book about Grover Cleveland. Now, don't turn that dial because I'm about to tell you something that's got really nothing to do with Grover Cleveland. It has to do with the time. And the times were the 1890s. Now, what's that got to do with us? One of the things we're learning more and more as we go through these banking crises, as we go through these recessions, as we go through these depressions, as we go through this shifting the workforce from one industry to another, one of the things that either we're going to get or we're not, I think more and more of us are getting, the study of history allows us to realize these things have been dealt with before.
Yeah, but nothing as big as this.
What do you mean nothing as big as this? What does that mean?
Well, I mean like the bank, man, everything almost melted down and everything.
Yeah, it melted.
It melted. You talking about the economic meltdown?
Yeah.
Hold on. Not only have we been through these things before, people talk about the Great Recession. Why don't you, for a minute, forget about the Great Recession. Or the Great Depression, I should say. Just forget about that. I'm not making these things up, folks. One of the great things about knowing history is you don't have to be partisan. You can take a look at it and say, all right, here's what happened. Now, the Great Depression has been so sullied with historical interpretation that it's become a joke to hear people talk about it. It's asinine. Asinine to believe that much of what Roosevelt did wasn't any good. You simply don't know a thing if you think that Roosevelt's New Deal had no effect on helping the country recover. And a lot of people are trying to sell that now. And that is the worst kind of historical revisionism, and I don't even want to get into it. All right, tell you what, let's go back to the 1890s. Let's talk about a recession that lasted for 7 years, 1893 to 1900. It was brutal. Soup lines. There were people living in tents. There were people starving to death. There was a hurricane in 1897 that wiped out portions of South Carolina. And at that time, paternalism is what government bailouts were called. Paternalism is what a government, like FEMA. If you had FEMA in the 1890s, you know what they would have called that?
What, paternalism?
Paternalism, yeah.
What's that mean?
It means, what do you want us to be? The father? You want us to be the big daddy? You want the federal government to come in and be daddy? So even the idea, ladies and gentlemen, that today we take for granted, if thousands of people, if 2,000 people lost their lives in a hurricane, by God, if the government didn't ask, we'd impeach the... If the government didn't act, I should say, we'd impeach the president. And the bullcrap they're slinging about Bush and Katrina, I mean, that's not even in the ballpark. That's just politics. That's just politics. But there was a very real situation in the 1890s with the suffering of people. I'm just bringing up a hurricane. Now, what did it all result in? We know that the Depression resulted in what?
Well, I don't know, man. More safety net.
Yeah, more safety nets. There was also a lot of legislation that came into being about banks playing the stock market. You couldn't do that anymore. There was an awful lot of legislation. We got off the gold standard, which a lot of people got pissed off about, but we did. We realized that to have that much gold, to have the amount of gold that you needed to run a country, meant you'd have to go out and find that much gold. Is there any? Is there enough gold in the world, man, to power an economy that has the things that America wants to do? And, of course, we had Social Security, we had unemployment insurance, and these things came into being. There's nobody, not even Republicans, who are a small government party, pro-business small government party, not even Republicans would even countenance getting rid of Social Security. You heard Rick Perry, who said, I am not going to touch Social Security. I'm not even going to go near it. I realize it has to be reformed. But nobody is talking about getting rid of it. And yet at one time we didn't have it.
What about the 1890s and stuff?
All right, now it brings me to the 1890s. Every one of these economic calamities results in something happening in our country. New legislation, new programs, what have you. I hate to break the news. I'm as much a small government, big business guy as any of you. But I'm here to tell you that the United States has not recovered from large economic calamity ever without action from the federal government stepping in and putting the cap on certain things, putting money into certain things, and basically adjusting, if you will, the way America does business. And so it was at the end of the 19th century, as America was emerging from a brutal recession, along came a guy by the name of Teddy Roosevelt. You know who he is.
You're the guy that went up the hill.
Yeah, he went up San Juan Hill, all that bullcrap.
Said bully.
Right, he said bully. Teddy Roosevelt came along, and what did he do? He was a Republican, but he was a progressive Republican, which, of course, today is a very distasteful thing in the mouths of a lot of Republicans. They don't like that idea of it. What do you mean progressive? That means it's just a Republican. It's like a Democrat hiding in a Republican suit. Well, what Roosevelt was trying to say, and what he did do, by the way, was that, you know, business is business, guys, and I understand that, but monopolies, these monopolies, these things were killing us. They were killing the country. They allowed these businesses to monopolize entire segments of our economy. Sugar was a monopoly that was so caustic that the sugar barons could tell people, hey, we got to cut your wages because it's a recession. Well, wait a second. No. We didn't have organized labor in those days like we do today. We didn't have collective bargaining in those days. So not only were the workers without any rights at all, but companies could monopolize entire areas of the industry. I bring up sugar as just a small example of that. Railroads, everything. A guy by the name of Eugene Debs came along who formed a railroad workers union that was busted with the help of President Cleveland and with the railroad barons. Eugene Debs was thrown in prison and he came out. He went in an American who believed in the rights of workers to collectively bargain. He came out a socialist. He was radicalized by his time in prison. Teddy Roosevelt came along and he said, we're going to get rid of these monopolies whether you like it or not. So what I'm trying to say is, the U.S. government is necessary at times to come in and balance out stuff that is just flat wrong. Now, what's happening today, you can say what you want about Obama. I don't give a crap. Maybe he doesn't know what he's doing. Maybe he does. That's not the point. You put a Republican in there, and I got news for you. He's going to do things that'll piss off Republicans. He's going to do things that are very activist in terms of government, and it's going to piss off a lot of Republicans. Right now, what this country needs is a very strong hand in banking practices. There's no question about it. We can't have any more of this subprime lending bullcrap. We can't have the kind of thing that we saw in the headlines in the Wall Street Journal this morning. Some guy who was a trader for a Swiss bank conned him out of $2 billion. And they just found out about it Wednesday. $2 billion. One guy. And they just uncovered it on Wednesday. You've got to put things in place, especially the way economies are interconnected today. Put in enforcement and control that doesn't let that stuff happen. Now, that's all there is to it.
Yeah, but they're going to say it's like a police state.
Oh, they said the same thing when Roosevelt was doing what he was. When both the Roosevelts, when it was Teddy busting up the monopolies, when it was Franklin putting into place these safety nets. And on and on and on and on. They probably even said it about Reagan when he got into deficit spending so we could build up the military so we could kick the Russians' asses. It's always going to happen. It's always going to be the government's too big. The government's not doing enough. The government's too big. The government's not doing enough. We're going to constantly have this strain and this pull. And it's not going to be any different, folks. In order for us to come out of what has been a recession that has really hurt a lot of people, and I mean bad, but nowhere near as bad. Nowhere near as bad as the 30s, and nowhere near as bad as the 1890s. Not even close. Nonetheless, it's a recession. It's got to be painful, and we got to do things so that these things don't happen again, as in the reforming of these banks more than anything else. Or as Jesse Jackson called them, and I know I just brought up a name that people don't like.
Who? I like Jesse Jackson.
Yeah, well, you got it. You're black.
It ain't got nothing to do with being black.
It ain't got anything. Hold on. He calls them banksters. He's right. Banksters. All right, we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll get back to this. NFL wants pat-downs from the ankles up. That sounds friendly. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. World-famous Phil Hendry Show.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show. Here's one of the reasons that I don't like my... I never like Michael Bloomberg. I never will. I don't think... if you think you're a Rudy Giuliani Bloomberg, or if you think you're anything other than what you are, the mayor of a big city, and not a particularly good one, you're never going to be a national politician. Never. One of the reasons I don't like the guy is right here. I've got an example for you here from... was it last Friday? He warned there would be riots in the streets if Washington doesn't get serious about generating jobs. Now, some people would say, well, he's telling the truth. You know, you can tell the truth as a politician, as the leader of a city. You can tell that truth to the police. You can tell that truth to the National Guard. You can tell that truth to other members of the city council. You can prepare for eventualities that may or may not occur. You don't have to broadcast that during a particular time when everybody is down and everyone is trying to keep it together. That's not a mayor. That's not what a leader does. That's not a leader doesn't try to send panic into the hearts of people. And I don't give a damn what you say. That's exactly what he's doing there. So, Bloomberg, why don't you shove it? You know, I mean, go back to whatever it was you were doing with that rotten radio and TV channel you got. His unusually alarmist pronouncement came as President Obama has been pressuring reluctant Republicans to pass his proposed job creation plan. The damage to a generation that can't find jobs will go on for many, many years. The normally measured, this guy's, there's nothing measured about him. All right, so I didn't want to talk about that. I mean, why have to clean up some guy who just decided to squat in the middle of the floor and let one go, you know?
Yeah, that's exactly what he's done. He squatted. Got to mop it up. Probably running.
Shut up. God, ew. NFL wants pat-downs from the ankles up at all stadiums. The NFL wants all fans patted down from the ankles up this season to improve fan safety under the new enhanced pat-down procedures. The NFL wants all 32 clubs to search fans from the ankles to the knees as well as the waist up. Previously, security guards only patted down fans from the waist up while looking for booze, weapons, or other banned items. The stricter physical screening policy impacts the 16.5 million fans expected to attend live regular season NFL games this season. The more thorough searches will spell longer lines for ticket-holding fans seeking entry to the games. It's sure to raise the ire of some fans who consider it an invasion of privacy. The NFL recommended the new guidelines before the kickoff of the 2011 season, which coincided with the 10th anniversary of 9/11. The league hopes fans will be patient, says Brian McCarthy, and arrive earlier to the game to avoid long pushing lines. No, Brian, you know, are you an idiot or something? You show up early to the game, it doesn't make a damn bit of difference. It's when you guys open the gates.
What do you mean?
What do I mean? I mean, you can show up early. They still ain't got the gates, so they're going to open the gates at a certain time. And unless you're right there at that minute, unless you, as soon as you get out of your car and you go over to that gate and stand there first in line, within, I can tell you, minutes, you're going to have a lot of people packing around those entrances. And then you decide, okay, now open the gates. And I don't know how much earlier they open the gates to get into the stadium. The ball games start at 1 o'clock, or they start at 4 o'clock. They start at either 1 or 4. On the West Coast, they're always 1 o'clock. We don't ever have any 4 o'clock games here, do we? No. But out East, they will have either a 1 o'clock game or a 4 o'clock game. The 1 o'clock game we see at 10. Now, what time are they opening the gates?
I don't know. It'd probably open up like probably 5-1.
Yeah, what about that?
Well, that's the 5-1. That's great.
Well,
5-1. Go ahead, open the gates. Are you guys out of your minds?
Well, I don't know what time they open them.
I can tell you that that's the music and we have to take a break.
Exactly.
We'll be right back. I can tell you, having gone to college football, which ain't pro football, they open those gates at the last possible minute, and then everybody's breathing on each other, and it sucks. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry.
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Margaret Gray on the line with us, returning from an Emmy party. Right, Margaret?
Well, Phil, it was a pre-Emmy party. I have to hasten to add, the Emmys are not until Sunday night. We were at a pre-Emmy party over Bill Schistnig. Do you know Bill?
No, I don't.
Bill was a producer, I was almost certain. He worked a lot at CBS Radford. Did a lot of pilots and a couple of shows before he unfortunately got caught in that accounting scam. and was at Lompoc. I think you went to prison, right, Frank?
Yeah.
All right. We're driving. I don't want to distract Frank. No, he went to prison for 3 years.
Hold on.
Give me.
Hey, young man.
Frank, how are you?
I'm better than Custer. Listen, Bill Schuschnigg was a very dear friend of mine. She went to prison, yes, for the accounting scandal, but he wasn't supposed to bring it up. He said he wanted to talk to you and
Kent. Yeah, he's got the gender confusion, you know?
Yeah, I know he does. He's saying, though, that you were not supposed to talk about this guy, Schuschnigg.
Well, I didn't hear. I'm sorry, Frank. I didn't get the ruling from on high about...
Well, that she was in prison waiting.
On back. Frank, next time you do a papal bull...
What do you mean, papal bull?
A papal edict. Let everyone know. Anyway, Bill, we're coming back from Bill Schuschnigg. Yes, he was in prison. There was an accounting scandal.
Well, what was that?
Well, I want to talk about Sarah Palin.
All right, but what do you mean the accounting scandal?
Yeah. The phone, Frank. So help me God.
So you'd aim for my groin with the phone?
Yes, I would.
Margaret.
Sorry. What happened, Phil? There was a lot of people not getting paid residuals for television shows that had been produced. You remember David Jansen from The Fugitive?
Oh, yeah, okay. Was he one of them?
David Jansen, I think, filed the initial claim, and then it continued. Bill Schuschnigg got caught up in it. He had a program that I had been a part of very, very briefly as a young actress. It was called Chop House. Do you remember that show, Chop House?
Not Chop, it was called Pork Chop.
Pork Chop?
I don't know Chop House.
Give it to me.
I swear to God, I'll drive it right through your...
Boy, he just said scrotum.
All right, are the two of you going to battle over a phone?
I have the phone. He keeps trying to grab it.
Grab what?
Yeah, don't you wish. I have the phone, Phil. No, the program was called Pork Chop.
You're the genius.
Well, it was a show that I was on, so...
Well, you don't know the name of the... Anyway, it doesn't make any difference. So this guy was, he was caught, huh?
Yeah, he was caught up, so he did 3 years at Lompoc. The reason why I'm calling you, though, is the Sarah Palin-Glenn Rice tete-a-tete. I find it absolutely fascinating. I think she is really... She is brazen. I just...
Well, what do you think of that?
Well...
I mean, it was before she was married, you know...
I understand it was before she was married. I just think she is the most brazen thing. God!
He's been doing...
Do you understand what I'm saying, Phil?
Well, yeah, I mean, brazen. I mean, she's a young woman. She met Glenn Rice, at that time a member of the Miami Heat.
Can you imagine? She just walks right up to a professional NBA player and just goes for it. I mean, oh!
Look at what he's doing. Give me that.
Give it to me. Frank, do you really think you want a phone that's going to be wedged forevermore between your two?
Okay, I got to hang up.
Well, Phil, I just...
Thank you very much, bud.
Well...
No, you didn't do anything wrong. I don't need to listen to her battling for the phone with Frank. 877-876-PHIL. If she calls back, we'll put her back in due course on the air, but don't just go, oh, she's back in the air. And we got to throw her up there.
I promise I won't do that.
Thank you. Every time somebody calls back, okay?
No, I know. It interrupts the show. I'm sorry.
All right. So anyway, Heidi Klum has been...
No, and the other thing...
What did I just get done telling you?
Sorry.
Heidi Klum, the most dangerous online search. I don't know if it's happened to you. It's happened to me. And it happened to me not too long ago, like maybe 2 months ago, because everybody at everybody in the control room, I had everybody, you know, basically I was screaming and yelling because what happened is I went to a site. I was looking for pictures of Osama bin Laden. Like, I don't know what he looks like. But I was actually looking for pictures of Osama bin Laden to throw up online so that we would have an image of him while we were talking about what had just happened, which was the SEAL raid that killed him. And we were on the air talking about it. Well, and I went to all these pictures of Osama bin Laden, and what do you think happens? I got a virus into the computer, a Trojan horse that just, man, it was on its way to destroying everything. And it wasn't, I couldn't shut it down fast enough. And finally, we had to have a guy come in, a specialist who sort of isolated all of these and got him out of there.
Yeah, it almost happened the other day, too.
It almost happened the other day, but we have we got really good antivirus software now. But remember that when, especially pictures, if you guys are searching pictures, be very, very careful. You can land on a picture, and the next thing you know, you're done. You know, all of a sudden, you are getting a non-responsive computer. You're getting very strange questions about, would you like this antivirus? You know, you need to protect your computer. This is alert. It's all bull crap. I mean, that is just the. One of the things that almost happened to me was it asked for my credit card, you know, because...
You were going to offer you antivirus.
Yeah, it was, hey, protect your computer. Here, give us your credit card. And that would have been a disaster. Nonetheless, they're out there, and obviously you need to protect your computer with good antivirus software. But if you hit certain pictures, that's what happened to me. And certain searches of certain names. And according to McAfee, which is one of the better antivirus producing companies, they have an annual list, and they search for the number one and through 10 most dangerous searches. What they tell you is what is the most dangerous search, and which means you are most likely, or you're more than 90% likely. This is a 9% chance. What did I say, 90?
Yeah.
9%. There's more than a 9% chance of landing on a website that has tested positive for online threats such as spyware, adware, spam, phishing viruses, and other malware if you search for Heidi Klum.
You search for Heidi Klum, you're going to get more than spyware and malware.
Yeah, you probably get the Chinese itch.
Yeah.
The Chinese itch, that's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's funny. In any event...
Yeah, don't you think you get the Chinese itch?
All right, I got the Chinese itch joke, man. Okay, that's kind of insulting.
What's insulting about it? Everybody hates her.
Okay, but we can still be gentlemen. Heidi Klum. McAfee says that fans who search for the model by name or by Heidi Klum and downloads... Heidi Klum and downloads, that's good. Heidi Klum and free downloads. Heidi Klum and screensavers. Heidi Klum and hot pictures. And Heidi Klum and videos are at risk of running into online threats designed to steal personal information. Clicking on these risky sites and downloading files like photos, videos, or screensavers exposes surfers or consumers to the risk of downloading viruses and malware. So let that be a lesson to you, Bud Dickman.
What are you looking at me for?
Because you're always looking for nude pictures.
You are looking for nude pictures, so don't tell me that you're not.
I look for a Scarlett Johansson one.
Scarlett Johansson? You mean Johansson?
Yo, mama.
Shut up. Don't be funny, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Okay. You're always looking for nude pictures. You're always looking for nude videos, this, that, something else. Well, guess what, Jack? You know, and if you do it on one of these companies, if you do it on a computer that belongs to Henry Radio Incorporated, never mind.
What are you going to say? Put a Trojan horse in him?
Yeah.
Sounds gay.
Yeah, well, anyway... The number two most likely search to get your ass infected, Cameron Diaz. Searches for her name resulted in slightly fewer risky sites this year, but she's still second on the all-time list of, sites that are likely to damage your computer with the aforementioned items. Number three, Pierce Morgan. He's new to the list and the most dangerous male celebrity. What is it about that guy that people don't like?
I think it's because he's just so damn English, you know?
Yeah, he's real European, and he's got that big nose and little mouth.
Very English.
Big nose and little mouth? What does that mean?
All the British people got big noses and little teeny mouths.
Oh, I see. Well, whatever. Pierce Morgan is number three. So if you're looking for... Are you looking for nude videos of him?
Ha ha, you're probably looking for nude ones of him.
No, I'm not.
All right, well, don't. Number four, Jessica Biel. She was 2009's most dangerous celebrity, but fell one more spot this year with searches resulting in fewer risky sites, according to McAfee. Understand that the number one most dangerous name on this list, Heidi Klum, that's a 9% chance. That's 1 in 10. That's 1 in 10. That's risky. Number five, Katherine Hagel. This is a debut performance for the TV turn movie star. Number six, Mila Kunis. Ditto for Kunis. How do you pronounce her name, man? I'm so, like, out of it.
I think that's it.
Huh? Yeah, what's your last name pronounced? Kunis, yeah. Mila. Ditto for Kunis, a first time on the McAfee list. Number seven, Annika Paquin, the actress in True Blood. She was number 10 on the list last year. Adriana Lima is number eight. Scarlett Johansson is number nine. I bet you she's going to go way up the list, though, man.
Why?
Because she just now came out with these nude shots. This thing, this list here, they probably compiled before the Scarlett Johansson nude pictures came out. So I bet you she's going to be way up the list. And number 10 is a tie between Emma Stone, Brad Pitt, and Rachel McAdams. A three-way tie puts Pitt, a mainstay of this list, appearing in the top 10 for the past 4 years, with Stone and McAdams both newcomers. McAfee says that using celebrity names is a common way for bad guys to try to lure people to sites that are laden with malicious software. Anyone looking for the latest videos or pictures could end up with a malware-ridden computer instead of just trendy content. You're a real freak, man, if you're looking for nude shots of...
Yeah, but you don't even have to be looking for nude shots, man. You might just be looking for, you know, pictures.
Well, 90% of these people are looking for pictures of these chicks to...
Yeah, just to see if you can see anything.
Yeah. While slightly safer than last year, searching for top celebrities continues to generate risky results. You know, they should come out with an antivirus software, okay? And what this antivirus software does is it not only protects your computer if you get hit with one, but it sends back out some kind of an identification virus. You know what I mean?
Uh-oh.
I mean, I don't know. We're probably... I bet you we're not too far away from it, but if you could send back out, if you have found a virus on a site, okay, then you can at least identify. Can't you identify where the virus is from?
No, they don't have that. They can't do that anymore. I mean, they know what a virus is, but it takes a long time for them to figure out if it comes from a guy.
What about that stripper virus all those years ago? They found out the guy that did that.
That guy was stupid. He left too many clues on how to find his way back. Multivirus, everybody, you can cover them up.
Well, the day is going to come, and you know how it goes. I mean, it's a never-ending game of cat and mouse. The bad guy figures out something. The good guy figures out how to, you know, combat it. Then the bad guy figures out something else. So it's an endless game of cat and mouse, but I'm sure that they're working on it even as we speak. Especially, it's got nothing to do with you and me. It's got to do with the U.S. government computers. The fact that the Chinese have infiltrated government computer systems, I mean, that much we know, it's very likely that we've probably done the same thing. It's a very interesting, speaking of history, there's a very interesting precedent. In World War II, we broke the German code. We broke it very early, and we read the German code throughout World War II. It was The Germans were bad at a lot of things in World War II. One of the things they were terrible at, just absolutely terrible at, was espionage, was the transmission of codes, anything having to do with spying. They just sucked. And so we broke their code. But here's the thing that you don't hear about, and it was equally true. They broke ours.
Yeah, but they broke ours.
How come they didn't like kick our ass or something?
They broke our code, but they didn't have the... punch power. They didn't have the power to go in and exploit the situations that they found, because they were gradually losing the war. They were losing their ability to make war. They were losing ground. So the Germans broke our code. They could read what we were doing, but they couldn't do anything about it. Meanwhile, we were breaking their code, and we saw every move they made. We went in and kicked their ass at every opportunity. And it is a game of cat and mouse, and it continues today. This is like code breaking. This is like a form of espionage. It's very criminal, but it is something that was predicted, that this kind of corporate espionage, or the espionage between private entities, that would take place. And this is just absolutely, this is just malicious. This is just trying to destroy, for no reason whatsoever, someone's ability to communicate on the internet. All right, coming back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. A couple of other little items in the news. One of them kind of interesting, a Medal of Honor winner won the Medal of Honor, but they described the battle that this young man was in where a few officers got their asses handed to them. In fact, this kid might not have had to go out and win a Medal of Honor had some people done their jobs in Afghanistan. And we'll talk about that coming back here. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here. And, Bud, this is what we call jacked up, man.
Yeah, it's pretty jacked up.
This is a story that's kind of jacked up. It is a story of great heroism, don't get me wrong. But there are times, obviously, when heroism is needed. But we'd rather that young men and women not have to risk their lives, if at all necessary, if other people do their jobs. Now, I don't know the outcome of this. I'm just reporting. And this comes to us from CNN. It is the result, and I say but because you know as well as I do CNN and Fox. I think Fox is equally suspect. I mean, I'm getting sick and tired of having to vet news organizations based upon their editorial policy. I'm just getting tired of it, you know. And I'm longing for the day, and I think it will return when we find reporters again. Nonetheless, there was an investigation, and there was a report issued, and we will find out about that. But nonetheless, a young man by the name of Sergeant Dakota Meyer is wearing the iconic blue ribbon and the gold star of the Medal of Honor for his actions in Afghanistan 2 years ago. But while that day was the pinnacle of Meyer's service in the Marine Corps, it may have been the nadir, which is what, Bud?
That's a song by Chuck Berry.
What?
A song by Chuck Berry? Nadine?
Oh.
Nadir, get out of here. Nadir means low, a low point.
You just spit, man.
Yeah, it hit me, too.
Sorry. Anyway. But while that day was the pinnacle, meaning the high point of Meyer's career in the Marine Corps, it may have been the nadir in the careers of three unidentified U.S. military officers involved in the incident. Now, I noticed they say U.S. military officers. They don't identify them as Marines. They don't identify them as Army. They don't identify them as anybody. I wonder if that means they're Army.
Why do you say that?
I don't know. Why wouldn't they say they were Marines? Nonetheless, instead of medals, those three unidentified officers have received letters of reprimand, almost certainly meaning their careers are over. President Barack Obama awarded Meyer the nation's highest military decoration on Thursday for risking his life to save 36 U.S. and Afghan troops caught in a blistering firefight. But an investigation by the military found Meyer may have not needed to act if some of the officers overseeing his mission from the rear had done their jobs properly. An investigation into the mistakes made during the September 9, 2009 ambush found that actions of key leaders at the battalion level were inadequate and ineffective. The investigation also criticized the poor performance of the commissioned officers who were present. Boy, this is ugly, man. As Marines radioed to their base, "We're going to die out here." This was their radio call. Commanders denied requests for extra firepower, helicopters, and backup troops, according to the investigation's executive summary. Artillery was scrambled at one point, but according to the investigation, that decision was overruled by higher echelons. Well, anyway.
Well, let's keep going.
Because this is the battle hymn of the Republic. I don't want to read about a bunch of military guys screwing the pooch. Anyway, congratulations. Congratulations, Sergeant Dakota Meyer of the United States Marine Corps, for your Medal of Honor. Good job, young man. God bless. World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft, Phil Hendry, Fred Scotty, and Chris Johnson. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, where you can get a backstage pass and join us. Join our community. Join our community of fans and friends, okay? And let's build our community of positivity and positive feelings and good vibrations. Let's build our community from the inside out. Join us, won't you, at philhendryshow.com. We'll see you later. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. See you tonight at 7 for our KFI show.
Phil Hendry.